I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome, everybody. Enjoy the show. We've got 3 hours really packed. In fact, I picked so many stories today. We may have to go 5 hours. Are you ready?
Yeah, well, I can always go long.
Tim can start at 6 tonight.
I've got stamina.
We got money coming up. We have the KFI Inflation Compensation Contest at about 1:20. Your chance at $1,000. Just grab the keyword, follow the directions. You could be a winner. We're going to play some Gavin Newsom audio in a moment, but a story that, and I don't know why, kind of depressed me when I saw it. As you know, this weekend, John, is a super holiday getaway weekend.
Sure.
We have Passover and we have Easter. And on the subject of Easter, a story popped up in the Washington Times that, as I just said, kind of depressed me. As you know, one of the staples at Easter is the egg. Clearly, obviously, the symbol of rebirth. It has traditions going way back in Christianity where apparently they dyed eggs many, many years ago.
No, I didn't know that.
It's part of a tradition at Easter. Says here in the story, early followers in Mesopotamia adopted the tradition of dyeing eggs.
I'm coloring eggs tonight. I am.
Tonight.
I bought a coloring kit at Ralph's. I'm not making this up, and it's family tradition.
I was going to say, your sons are like in their 20s.
It's
a kid thing.
We do this for ourselves now.
Do you hide them too?
Well, we have these plastic ones.
Look where my egg is. My wife and I make a real good game of it.
Tonight I'm going to hard boil them.
Probe.
I'm going to hard boil them.
Are we going to do the prison search thing again?
I hate the prison search game, honey.
Nobody wants that egg.
Yeah. So
I didn't know that. No, that's actually cute.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's cute, Deborah Mark?
I think it's so cute. I mean, are you going to bring
John
Ken and
Cole
I?
Belt? Yeah.
Are you going to bring an Easter basket?
You always do this. Maybe we all do this. Sit down.
No, I'm asking if he's bringing us an Easter basket.
I thought you wanted to go over and color with him.
No.
I had no plans to bring you or Ken an Easter basket.
I think you should. No. That would be really sweet.
Well, first of all, let's back up the show. I really made a mistake here. Well, you're a vegan. We can't be messing with eggs.
No.
Oh, that's right.
But you should be objecting to what you're doing.
12 little chicky embryos I'm going to be hard-boiling
tonight. She doesn't eat, right, Gary?
I don't eat them. But again, I will let you color the eggs. I'm not going to crack
down
on that.
Well, we hard-boil them, and then I color them.
I know.
And
when I was a kid, I did that too.
Well, I still
some
do
people
it.
Draw on them and stuff and I put know. All little stickers on them.
In fact, they expanded the kit now to 9 colors. It used to be 6.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's so exciting.
I was excited.
Woo-hoo!
Well, she wants to know if you'll bring one in for her, but
no,
of course.
No, I wanted a vegan chocolate.
She'll put it up on a shelf and worship it. Oh, or she'll mourn.
Then
the
it'll
egg.
Smell because it'll get rot.
Yeah, that happened in our house because my father hid eggs. I'm sorry, Easter Bunny hid the eggs so well that we didn't find some for months, and the smell was. He would sometimes open like a pillow cushion and stick it in there, so you didn't really think about taking the. You look behind the pillow, but you don't actually look inside the cushion.
And after a while, it's like, that's bad gas somebody has here.
Yeah, that's horrible. Well, this is why I got depressed. There's a story in the Washington Times that because of the high price of eggs, as you know, in California, they're even higher because the chickens have to have space.
Yes.
In December, the price for a dozen eggs was $6.05. I don't have, let me see, I'm trying to find a more updated price, but, and it jumped to $7.37 in the beginning of January. I actually was at a farmer's market last weekend, and people were lined up at a guy selling eggs. I guess he was selling them cheaper. They just didn't want to pay what the grocery store prices, so they were buying.
Oh, there's
eggs
now egg stuff. Lines?
Kind of. Only yeah. Because it looked like he was giving them a good deal. I don't know. I have to admit, I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, if you
egg
get
prices,
the high end egg, they're $9 for a dozen now.
The high end egg?
The high end egg, and that is the one that is.
What is it, like a royal chicken?
Organic, cage free, grass fed.
You don't care about that stuff.
I don't, no. But I do inspect egg prices because when I heard they were going crazy.
Yeah.
And the brown eggs are more than the white eggs. The white eggs you can still get for like $5 or $6, but the brown eggs that have all the probably fake qualities, I don't believe any of that. Yeah, sure, it's organic. Yeah, sure, it's cage free. But they're $9 now.
You can just go to Trader Joe's. They're pretty cheap there.
Well, there is a suggestion in this story about an alternative to dying eggs. And don't laugh, it's dying potatoes.
That's a great idea.
Oh, that's true. You would like
yeah.
this because it's not dairy.
Right.
Dying potatoes?
A Denver-based potato farmers group called Potatoes USA is putting out tips for everyone to decorate their potatoes for the holidays. The group recommends using a coat of hairspray to seal the color and keep the dye from bleeding into the potatoes. But the skin, because the skins are more absorbent.
Well, then you can't eat them, can you?
No, I wouldn't eat them.
After you spray them with
hairspray?
Goes right
into the potato. No, no. And I guess, I don't even know if they have to be cooked. But no, they're not cooked potatoes. They're just raw potatoes that you take out of the bag and then
right.
you dye them. And but that just depressed me. It's like, really?
Oh, that's...
And most of the people in the story aren't going to do it because eggs are so associated with Easter for the reasons I explained. Then why would you substitute it with
you
the potato?
You can't celebrate Easter with potatoes.
You can make a new tradition.
Oh, they're ruining everything. Everything is ruined.
I think this is just a potato people looking for a market for their potatoes.
Well, isn't it because the price of eggs, right? So
yeah.
high. So then instead of spending all that money on eggs,
you go for cheap potatoes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it says the cost of eggs rose about 124% year over year.
Right.
But potatoes only went up 59% in the same. Boy, they still really skyrocketed.
Yeah, I know.
That's ridiculous. My favorite part, though, was they were wondering what's going to happen next Monday at the White House when they have the annual Easter egg roll. Will it be a potato roll? Imagine trying to roll a potato down the lawn.
No, that would destroy Biden's candidacy.
Unless it's one of those really big potatoes that some farmers grow. You know, you ever see those shows where they have like the largest vegetables and
yeah.
like a massive sized potato that they're trying to roll down the hill? That
you
would
know,
be-
potatoes hold for a long time. You could keep a potato for a year.
Like in the pantry?
Yeah, they don't rot.
They don't spoil.
No, in fact, I don't know why I know this, but I read a story about potato farming, like in Idaho, and they have huge storage warehouses and silos where the potatoes are stored there for many, many months before they actually send them out to market.
Wow.
So,
yeah, Deborah Mark, you don't talk much about potatoes, though. You eat French fries.
Oh, yeah. I love
French
fries.
As long as the oil's correct.
Yes, exactly. As long as it's vegan. But, yeah, I do enjoy potatoes. I like sweet potatoes. Very good for you, by the way, sweet potatoes.
I like sweet potatoes, too.
And sweet potato fries, Ken.
Sweet potato fries, they're great, except everywhere I go, they're either done really well or really poorly. So it really depends on the restaurant. That's just the way they prepare
them. That's true. I like them very crispy.
John would not eat a sweet potato fry.
I have had one, and they're disgusting. But you know what? Thank you for asking.
It is an acquired taste. It is. You're kind of right about that.
But if you put some salt and ketchup, they're good.
In other words, you have to cover up the taste.
You have to cover up the taste.
But they're healthy. That's all that matters.
That's what I hear. My wife tells me this. You know, I'll make you some broccoli and you'll melt cheese on it. Well, why don't I just have the cheese?
Yeah. A lot of people even take baked potatoes and stick sour cream and butter all over them. Yeah. Everything you can shake up.
Right. Like, because you ever bite into a baked potato plain? Bleh.
It is kind of bland.
Yeah.
And particularly if it's not cooked right and it's still kind of hard.
They taste great with butter and sour cream because it's butter and sour cream.
That's right. Same reasons. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from Gavin Newsom. We told you that he's on a tour of the South.
Speaking of potatoes.
Making stops in Arkansas, but of course in Florida, as suspected. Just a few sort of California media outlets covered the governor. We have a little bit of audio to play. He thinks he's a major player on the national stage, but he only got coverage from, like, California newspapers and TV stations. We'll talk more. John and Ken, KFI. Oh, your chance at $1,000, too, is next with a keyword. KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We told you we were going to try to find this audio yesterday. Newsom has gone to the South. He thinks he's really important, and he has a lot of money. Guys, apparently he banked a lot of money for his re-election bid, and he didn't spend a lot of money because he won easily. Didn't need to. So he's using that money now to sort of campaign for president. Right. Or as the Times put it the other day in some column I didn't read, but the headline was, sort of might, could be, running for president.
He's waiting to see if Biden drops out. That's what
right.
he's waiting for.
You
got to
have a plan in case Biden just, keels over or just announces, I've had enough. Or doesn't make any sense anymore, and he's carried out. So Newsom has gone to Arkansas. He's gone to Florida. He's gone to Alabama. He's left the state. So yesterday, he was in Florida speaking with students at something called the New College of Florida, a small liberal arts school that...
A public college.
Right.
The Florida government runs it.
It's a story that very few people know about and very, very, very few people follow. You really have to be into politics and all this sort of geekdom to know what's going on, because the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, replaced the school trustees. And supposedly he put in conservatives to replace those with the woke liberal ideology at the school. So that's made it a local, very small flashpoint story. Somehow, Newsom's decided that I will seize on this story, go to Florida, and speak to those students about this outrage. This is not, to me, political fireworks, but I guess to Newsom it is.
Did you see the video?
No.
I don't know if this is a video of his remarks that we have here, but what he did is he met with people in the town, and it was a small crowd, just a couple of dozen people. They were in a library in Sarasota, and they had a singer from the 60s group, the Marvelettes.
Oh, yeah. Boy, they're old.
Oh, yeah. Those women are in their 80s. Well, they got one of them. And okay. They had this woman in her 80s.
Like in the early 60s. That's
right. What did they do? They did Please, Mr. Postman.
Postman.
They did the
right.
And a few other things. So anyway, she's leading them in some kind of song. And Newsom is sitting there on a kid's chair, bent up, and he's clapping.
Strange.
Like this, keeping the beat of the song. Yeah, it looked like a total goof. Yeah, there we go.
That's the actual audio?
Yes. And that's Newsom clapping along. Just wow. Very casually in like a zip-up, jacket.
Well, we have this. Let's start with cut number two, Newsom speaking to the students.
Walter and I, a moment ago, about the struggles not just in the moment.
I mean,
most resonant thing for me and for our kids, for my wife, was at the Rosa Parks Museum. There's the iconic no, but then there was the 382 days of the bus boycott where the hard work was done. And people forget what happens after that moment, the no, after that expression. And that's
what?
Where history is made. That's where history is changed.
That's
so it's very resonant what you say in terms of the 10 years of struggle.
I don't know what that was.
That is so plotting. That's where history is made. Yes, people forget after
moment.
The no. Yeah.
We had told you yesterday that he told the students that he was crawling out of his skin for them. I want you to know you're not alone. You matter. We care.
We tried to get that audio, but because there were so few reporters, nobody got that on tape.
Yeah, it's a quote that's attributed to a reporter at the Sarasota Herald Tribune down in Florida. So
Ray spoke to him, and he didn't have that part on his tape.
He also said, 50 years of progress, 50 years on voting rights, on civil rights, LGBTQ rights, abortion rights, contraceptive rights, all of that at threat, state after state, led by your state and your governor, with a zest for demonization and othering people. That's a good one, othering people.
Do you know DeSantis' approval rating in Florida is now 4 points higher than it was before he got reelected?
And he got reelected rather easily.
Yeah, almost 60-40. And it was the biggest win that any governor had in the country. And the biggest win by far of any Republican running for major office in the country. And he's wildly popular. There's a significant number of Democrats voting for him. In fact, even Miami-Dade County went Republican. He's shouting to the wrong people. The people in Florida generally love DeSantis' reign right now.
And I saw another report, just came out last week, just didn't have time to mention it, that Florida did weather COVID deaths better than California.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had more deaths, but proportionally, but they have an older population.
Right.
So you have to, when you factor that in, they did better than California.
Yeah.
So another thing about Newsom, which shows you he's full of BS. Remember a few weeks ago, he put out a tweet, "We're done with Walgreens." The pharmacy chain said it would not distribute an abortion pill in 21 states. So Newsom decided to take advantage of this. It's another issue where really this college in Florida and abortion pills. Anyway, he said in a tweet that we're done, that whatever we do, business with Walgreens is over. Well, a couple weeks later, here comes the truth. California is legally bound to continue doing business with Walgreens through the state's Medicaid program, according to health law experts. And the state just paid Walgreens $1.5 billion last year.
Yeah, so he's so stupid and uninformed that he didn't pause for a second and realize that Medicaid and Medicare contracts are really complicated, governed by federal law, and no state can just say they're done with Walgreens. You can't do that.
It says here, now the Newsom administration is confirming, we'll continue to comply with federal law and we'll pay Walgreens through Medi-Cal. Of course, Medi-Cal is the California version of Medicaid.
The Newsom spokes jerk, a guy named Anthony York, said, tweeting is not policy. And the governor will not take any action that hurts people who need access to care. Then what was the point of the little hissy fit? Was this a toddler just stamping his feet?
Yes.
Because somebody
just wanted to make a headline.
Yeah, because somebody wasn't agreeing with him and saluting him.
Federal law says that patients can get their medications at any approved pharmacy. So the state would run afoul of federal law if they suddenly cut off Walgreens as an option for people on Medicaid.
This little man-child has got an incredible amount of gall. He has got such a freaking disaster of a state. He's got over 100,000 people living out in the streets and dying. He's got ridiculous crime rates in all the cities, including the one that he helped destroy in San Francisco. Just had a major tech executive get stabbed to death in the street the other night.
More on that after 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
Lee, the Cash App guy.
This place is a disaster. He's forcing everybody into gas-powered cars where the electricity system is breaking at the seams. I mean, there's no give anymore in the electricity system, but he's going to force everyone to drive electric cars. He has really, really, really bad policies, really bad results.
All kinds
of fires are breaking out all over the place, and he goes to Florida and Alabama and Mississippi to lecture people there on how to live.
Johnny Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, the voice line.
I forgot to mention you can hear the show on the radio till 4. After 4, it's on the iHeartRadio app. We apologize that the show podcast wasn't available yesterday, but yesterday's show is there now, and so will today's show be there.
All right. The app can be used, too, to access the Moist Line, which will play tomorrow. So we're coming down on the end of collecting calls. Use the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, to leave a message for the John and Ken Moist Line. Or call the toll-free number. It's there for you waiting. 1-877-MOIST-86. 1-877-664-7886. We'll talk with Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, after 2 o'clock for an update on the death of that tech guy in San Francisco who was stabbed to death about 2:30 in the morning. And the update is there were surveillance cameras out there which caught him staggering trying to get help, including a car that pulled up, looked over, allegedly he pleaded with them, and they drove off. San Francisco, 2:30 a.m. I don't know if you can blame that person so much. Because it could be somebody up to no good who's trying to lure you. You know, I don't know. I feel bad, though.
San Francisco is the center of compassion and love.
There was also the survival instinct.
He didn't want to get blood on his back seat.
Well, you could have just quickly called the police for him or just kind of stayed with him on the sidewalk till somebody comes to help him stem the bleeding. I don't know. I mean, you could have probably done something. Anyway, Alex Stone will join us. We're not getting a lot of information, apparently, out of the San Francisco Police Department about the, how this may have happened and who did this. So we'll talk about all that stuff after 3 o'clock. It turns out that this man did move to Florida last year because he thought San Francisco was, quote, deteriorating.
Yeah.
But he came back for some kind of visit, and that was fateful.
Yeah, well, that is daily life in San Francisco. People get jumped and stabbed for no reason, and you die. And nobody's going to help you.
Well, shades of January 6th. What? No, nothing going on in D.C. It's in Tennessee. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, there was a terrible shooting in Nashville, Tennessee, at a private school that killed a number of people, including a few students. Since then, there have been calls in that state by some for new measures of gun control. Well, apparently last week, and this is why I mentioned January 6th, a group of state representatives, three of them to be exact, allowed protesters onto the House floor to disrupt proceedings, to lead them. They were in an overhead balcony last Thursday making their argument for gun law reform. Well, Isn't that a bit like January 6th?
Mm-hmm.
Only except the insiders allowed them to take over the state house?
Three of the state representatives, Justin Jones, Justin Pearson, and Gloria Johnson, then one of them grabbed a megaphone, and for 45 minutes they held up the legislative session. And they were shouting in the megaphone and encouraging the riffraff in the balcony to shout and yell. No action, no peace was the chant.
Well, the House in Tennessee, they have what's called the House of Representatives, the state legislature. It's 99 members. You know how many of them are Republicans?
98.
75.
75.
They have the supermajority that we have here, they have in Tennessee, yes.
Yeah, needless to say, these were three Democrats.
Yes, and what's going on right now is they might be thrown out.
Well, they just expelled one of them.
One? Okay, I was looking for an update. I didn't see.
Yeah, well, it says...
What, they're voting on each one?
They got a CNN graphic that says Tennessee House votes to expel State Representative Jones.
Oh, okay.
So,
and that would be Justin Jones.
Yes.
The other two are Justin Pearson and Gloria Johnson. I believe they are they all black? I think they are.
Right? The woman is white, I think.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, the two guys are black.
What's been going on today is everybody is getting a chance to make their case for and against the expulsion. They've all been speaking in the House in Tennessee, and then I guess eventually the vote comes.
There's been a lot of live coverage on the cable channels today because there's been a huge crowd outside the state capitol, out in the streets protesting. And then you had all the commotion inside. And they also ran a video this morning of exactly what was happening. This was like somebody's cell phone video. And they replayed that during the hearing this morning so that all the members could see exactly what was going on.
You could see the comparisons to January 6th because remember the Democrats were on a hunt to try to find out if any Republican Congress members helped. Right, the January 6th insurgents get inside the U.S. Capitol. So this time, it's pretty obvious that these three legislators led these protesters in there to the balcony. According to one of the leading Republicans in Tennessee, he said that I want to make it clear. This has nothing to do with the protest outside the House chamber or the protest outside our Capitol. This is about these three members' actions on the House floor, how they shut us down, how they led protests from the House chamber to those people in the balcony. So this would be, I mean, they're completely expelled. They're out of office.
Yeah, they're out of office. It's expulsion.
Wow.
The demonstrators flooded the building again this morning before the expulsion votes, chanting gun control now and not one more.
We have some audio. It may be from yesterday, but we have some audio from Tennessee. Chaos.
Play what you have.
Something three, we support.
We support the Tennessee three.
The Tennessee three?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's what I'm referring to as the three legislators who face expulsion. Wow. Obviously, these three were angry because Republicans didn't respond to push for gun restrictions in response to the mass shooting crisis in the U.S. and obviously what happened in Nashville not too long ago. So that was the impetus for this. And I guess they got so frustrated, they decided to bring the protesters into the state house. And that you can't do.
Well, the first guy they kicked out, Justin Jones, he's only 27 years old. He's one of the youngest members. He just won election in November and he was a community organizer. He's held sit-ins in the state capitol, and in the summer of 2020, he led a 61-day protest against racial injustice outside the building. And he wanted the removal of a bust of a Confederate general. Justin Pearson is 28 and just won a special election in January. And he was involved in opposing a crude oil pipeline. So
he said that this is morally insane. It was just a procedural breach after a mass shooting at a school.
Well, you know, you
can... they're overreacting to this, but the Republicans said, oh, no, this is very comparable to what happened on January 6th. Maybe worse, depending on how you look at it, because they actually got into the balcony there at the top, and there were plenty of them. Right. And they were led by three politicians who can't do that.
And you shut down a legislative session.
Right, for an hour, apparently.
Yeah. So you, when you what they did in Washington, D.C., is they shut down the session where Mike Pence was going to count the electoral votes. And here they shut down this whatever they were discussing during their regular session.
Right.
In Tennessee. So when you do that and you have the politicians doing it, yeah, you're getting, and you know you're in the minority. You know you're outnumbered 3-1. Well,
now it takes a 2/3 vote to oust them. Apparently that happened with the first guy you just mentioned.
Yeah.
After that, the seat's vacant because the 2024 general election is more than 12 months away. The districts would hold special elections to fill the seats. Meanwhile, the representatives' county commissions can choose to appoint an interim lawmaker.
See, you could be a college kid outside the Capitol and do all your protests and sit-ins and hunger strikes and all that nonsense. But once you're an adult and you have a seat representing your district, you have to live according to the rules inside. Right. And if you're going to act like you're still a college kid, shaking your fist, it's like, well, you know, they're gonna treat you like a little kid, and they're gonna bounce you.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
In Tennessee, they're going to be voting any minute now on the second legislator that they're going to kick out, Gloria Johnson.
Yeah, I don't know the details of the story, but I can't imagine they kicked out the first guy. They will kick out all three of them, but
I'm sure they will.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, we'll talk about the death of the tech executive in San Francisco, found bleeding in the street at 2:30 in the morning. He did not recover from his stab wounds. The latest from Alex Stone, a lot of reaction to that in that city, and tech people really up in arms. You wonder if this is going to get them to try to do something about the state of crime in places like San Francisco. Now, we really lift the show up high and talk about suicide! Who's excited?
Exit bag time.
Two stories. First one comes from Belgium. There is a woman claiming that her husband, who was so worked up about climate change and the, well, they call it eco-anxiety, that for some time he'd been messaging with an artificial intelligence chatbot about climate change.
Oh, no.
And according to the widow, the chatbot encouraged him to kill himself, and he did. The man, identified by the outlet under the fake name of Pierre, reportedly became obsessed and pessimistic about climate change and began messaging with a chatbot, an app called Chai. In his 30s, he worked as a health researcher and actually had two children with his wife. Now, she's telling this story, so it might be a little suspect.
Well, there was,
but she showed the messages.
They had a name for the chatbot, Eliza.
Eliza.
Because the widow said without Eliza, he would still be here.
So. She thinks he was treating Eliza as a human. Their messages became more alarming over the course of 6 weeks. I guess he was doing this before he took too many pills and died.
I could understand, because if you look at it from an artificial intelligence point of view, right, just purely logical, you are contributing to climate change. Climate change is bad. So the world would be better if you weren't here.
That is the message from some extremists, isn't it? That humans need to get, need to really be culled?
Exterminated. No, there is a big streak of extermination policy in the whole climate change ideology. They think you should stop having children, and every person on the planet is just another polluter. And so, you know, and the artificial intelligence, it depends who programs it. If you have some woke climate fanatic who's programming the AI, well, what do you think's going to come out? It's like, well, you know, you're a polluter, you ought to die. And if you're so worried about climate change, it's probably irreversible, so you might as well leave now.
If you wanted to die, why didn't you do it sooner? The bot allegedly asked the man just before his suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably not ready, he responded. Were you thinking of me when you had the overdose, the bot said? Obviously, the man reportedly responded. The widow said the husband had eco-anxiety and turned to the bot for a breath of fresh air. Eliza answered all his questions. She became his confidant, like a drug in which he took refuge.
It's like an affair. He was having an affair with a chatbot.
You know, there have been movies and fictional stories told this way, where the person gets really wrapped up in the artificial intelligence and they become...
You know, it probably is better that he decided to leave.
Suicide story comes from the Netherlands, where we have brand new statistics about euthanasia. Hmm.
Yeah, that's not far from Belgium. It's that whole area.
Yeah, I think there's a different outlook there about everything. I don't know if religion doesn't play into it, because it's not a very religious part of the world. But
no,
there's an awful lot of cold logic, I would put it.
Well, you're not useful anymore.
Yeah, euthanasia killings rose by 14% in the Netherlands in 2022. Totaling 8,720 deaths. Now, that's 5.1% of all deaths in the country.
You believe
that's
that?
That's significant, yeah.
Yeah. 5% of the deaths are people committing suicide. Euthanasia.
It's not suicide. They're being assisted, yeah.
Yes, that's government-sanctioned suicide.
115 mentally ill people were euthanized. Now, how does that work? Do you have to have the government or a doctor or a family member? If somebody's mentally ill, they're really not competent to make the decision that they want their life to end. So who does that?
People who decide, you know what, you're too much trouble. You got too many mental problems. I'm sick of taking care of you. Of what use are you going to be? We're getting back towards the Nazis and eugenics here.
I bet you they don't have a lot of homeless.
Look at this. Sometimes it's the policy is connected to consensual organ harvesting.
Oh.
So wait, a mentally ill person consents not only to being killed, but to having his organs harvested, huh?
Donated, yeah.
Yeah. A mentally ill person is consenting. That's what I like.
379 elderly couples got joint euthanasia. But there's a way to go out. Usually this means one is very ill and the other's got problems, but wants to avoid the grief of being alone. 288 people with dementia were put down.
That's right. The useless.
Oh, and that one you can fill out a directive advance. So if you know that you're headed down the dementia road, you can fill out the paperwork, which when you get to a certain point, says that you're willing to go. Right. Wow.
They're tough. The Dutch are tough.
Yeah.
You know, you reach your expiration date where you don't serve anybody any purpose. We don't want to pay for you.
Yeah.
Get out.
There's cold logic to that. Or just talk to a chatbot and see what they tell you to do.
If we here at the government can't convince you, maybe you can talk to Eliza. Eliza has some advice.
Maybe Eliza gives that advice to everybody that she connects with. Somebody's secret plan to...
You don't want to date Eliza.
All right, coming up next, we'll be talking to Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI. He has the latest on that horrible story out of San Francisco. The founder of Cash App and Mobile Coin exec Bob Lee was found stabbed, and he did not survive. This is 2:30 in the morning on Tuesday on the streets of San Francisco. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.